You'd have thought he could have at least taken his foot off the throttle. Hello and welcome to edition 220 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at the iconic Rushcutters public house on the outskirts of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio. We are also slightly colder than we thought it would be. And we are here to review another Spanish Grand Prix where not much happened. You'd think we'd be used to it by now. We will also have a wee glance at what's in store once Monaco arrives, of course, as well. Hashtag no gimmicks. Coming up, he hammered them all, Redemption, and yes, Roman, it's gross, Sean. Just letting that one sink in for a bit. I am. Thanks, Kyle. Boom. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Good evening to you all. And joining us on tonight's pod, we have, you've probably already heard them both, tonight's guests, two times Beckles champion... Beckles kart champion Carl Cumbers.
Good evening.
And budding F1 correspondent Callum Springle.
Good evening.
It's still okay. We should start using your blogging name, shouldn't we, Callum?
Should we?
Should we do the official announcement now?
Yeah, so I've got my own website.
Yes.
Which is callumspringle.wordpress.com.
Beautiful.
And yeah, go visit the website, go read all the content. I have lots of hopefully regular content pretty much every other day of the week or so.
Look at that, straight in. Who doesn't love content? As someone who deals in content, I love content. So good for you, Callum. And we'll definitely be sharing it on all our NRF1 channels too. Carl, you well? Nice shirt there. I like that shirt.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Enjoying the summer.
We've had a week of it. That'll do. It was a bit warmer in Spain, at least.
It did look a bit, yeah. But at the shame the rain didn't come to spice up a little bit.
It was actually raining, wasn't it, in the post-race coverage, I noticed. Mm.
And it was rain for the two morning races in GP3 and F2, but, or not rain, it was damp track. But shame it didn't, a little sprinkle, could have spiced up a little bit.
That is rude, isn't it? And to be honest, half the grid was saying they wished it was going to rain as well. But it didn't, which left us with the race we got. I guess rather than getting stuck into that, well, let's just reflect on, of course, the fact that Lewis Hamilton won the race and he dominated it. And this was, I guess, in some ways worrying and in other ways probably about time. It was ominous, Callum.
But equally flattering.
Oh.
Because, I mean, he was effectively in a race of one, seeing as, for some reason, it's probably just the conditions matching the requirements of the Mercedes, but the Mercedes was quite a lot quicker than anything else on the track, at least in terms of consistency and repeating its pace over the course of the race. And, of course, Vettel jumping Bottas at the start gave him, what, 10 or 15 seconds breathing space? And I suppose you could probably argue that Bottas had to turn up his engine to fight Vettel and use a bit more fuel, then had to save more fuel and lost, I think, about another 5 seconds. And over the course of the whole weekend, Bottas was pretty much on Hamilton's pace and was at one point in the race trading fastest laps with him. So had it been the status quo at the start, it probably would have been a lot closer. But I still don't think Bottas would have gone past him.
This is what I guess we've kind of been waiting for, isn't it? At the start of the Lewis Hamilton Mercedes season. We will talk about Valtteri Bottas in a moment, but I thought it was interesting that we had all that, a wonderful weekend, all the Mercedes head honchos were in, and of course then the things filter out afterwards. Well, he's pretty close to signing a new contract as well, and everything's really rosy, and his hair looked really neat, and everything was great, Kyle. Everything was wonderful.
He's back. Now, it was back to Lewis Hamilton from Australia. So the one that disappeared for the three rounds has come back. Maybe it was contract talks. Maybe it was, you know.
So, five train diesel there for you, Rich. Regular listeners will know we're right by the train line at the back of the Rushcutters and the river, but the boats don't make the same noise. Anyway, Kyle, you were making a much more important point.
I was, but I can't quite remember where I was. But yeah, the contract negotiations may have been on his mind. That may have caused part of the problems. But as Callum said, sort of Bottas was... I can't remember, was it less than a tenth the qualifying gap? Yeah, obviously, which ended up being very important for the race. But it would have been fascinating to see Bottas, if he'd got second, or Vettel hadn't overtook him in the first corner, it would have been interesting to see the gap between them towards the end. But he's a good bit of confidence for him anyway.
It is, and certainly for Lewis, although he probably doesn't need it. And maybe we'll reflect on this race over the course of the season as being quite crucial to in the grand scheme of things, and him just switching on. But in terms of Valtteri, we're seeing consistency here that we haven't really seen before. Now, I know we're talking five races in, so it's a long time to go, but by this point in other seasons he would have slipped up, and it's not happening. I'm really liking this because he's quick in qualifying, he's pushing Lewis generally, and in the race generally he's keeping it tight, and he's looking a very handy teammate this year.
Yeah, he stepped up, and also following the qualifying in Australia where he binned it the first corner, which...
True, I forgot about that.
No, but in a way, it's sort of how he's bounced back from that is impressive, because all the pressure's on him, even from the end of last season, the talk of Ricciardo going there, But he's bounced back from that, and he's been quick, and he's probably deserved 2 victories. So, yeah, you can't knock him. And the relationship him and Hamilton have, if I was Mercedes, I'd be signing him up. No, forget Danny Ric.
Well, we'll get on to Danny Ric and his little slip down the slip road. But what do you reckon about Valtteri, Callum?
I suppose from the start of last season, we saw a driver that was adapting to his new surroundings quite well. And he was closer to Hamilton on average in qualifying than Rosberg was over his, what was it, 3 years as teammates with him. And naturally, as you get sort of more ensconced in the team, and this is a car that he's helped to influence, basically, and he's been there for the whole period of the design process of the car, so he knows exactly what's going on. And I suppose the result that we're seeing from that is that he's genuinely quite close to Hamilton and is unlucky to not be considered a proper title contender at the minute.
The coots are agreeing with you there, Callum. I think they're coots. Someone may know the actual noises of birds, and there's probably a technical term for the noises of birds, and correct me, but they look like coots from here in the gloom here in Norwich. I think you touched on it on our Patreon little live lens videos earlier. Your little three-word verdict on the race, Callum, which was, remind me?
Ferrari are bottle jobs.
I mean, it's been an issue with Ferrari in other races, but this one... Callum, you know, they pit under the virtual safety car and it ends up scuppering Vettel's race to a greater degree than it was perhaps scuppered already. Where did it all go so wrong? How did they get this wrong?
Well, I suppose you start with the fact that they've just struggled with the tyres all weekend. I mean, it's a completely different circuit to what they've been used to in the last three, and the changes that Pirelli made to the tyres is well documented. And then you sort of get to race day and they're not entirely sure that they could do a one stop, which, I mean, that alone kind of makes it fair enough that they would go for a two. And they kind of took the chance that they got, but the difference between third and fourth was that I think the right rear was slow to go on. So the result of that was that had they had a normal stop, I think they lost 3 seconds in the stop, they would have been ahead of Bottas, Verstappen quite comfortably. But then there's the issue around whether they really needed to stop anyway, because track position was just pretty much the be-all and end-all, really. I mean, there were, what, a handful of overtakes in the whole race? I think
were there? Wow.
Half of the ones that stick out in my mind, there was...
Sure, a little too carriage to North Walsham, I reckon, there, Rich.
But half of the ones that stick out in my mind, they were either mistakes or performance differentials with the tyres. I've lost my train of thought there. No pun intended.
Do you think, because the season so far and safety cars and virtual safety cars and pit stops, that they just saw a virtual safety car and went, let's pit. It's the thing to do this year. It's just like...
But then you'd be rendering incredibly intelligent people, Carl, into reactionary idiots. Okay. I mean, I'm sure that doesn't happen. But, you know, when people can't tell it's raining because of what's flashing up on their screens compared to what's going on outside, then, you know, maybe people get a bit reliant on past judgments, most definitely. Of course, I'm sure it had nothing to do with tyres and the change in decision from Pirelli that I think Ferrari had claimed maybe did Mercedes a favour. Sounded like a nice little bit of a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I mean, was it they reduced the tread by 4 millimetres, was that?
0.4 millimetres.
This is Formula One, by the way.
Yeah, because that made the difference.
That's why he was, you know, why Ferrari were... half a second to a second slower than Hamilton at the start. It was, yeah, I think it's just a little bit moaning because they
wish.
Mercedes were quickest there in testing and they loved that medium tyre. So if it had been their way around, probably Mercedes been moaning that, you know, probably changed the tyres. Probably did it for a reason. You know, they know tyres more than me, so I'll back Pirelli.
Hey, I don't agree with that at all, Carl. I don't agree with that at all. So we had a message from Ped on our WhatsApp group. He said, I watched the race today with my pops. I think he's in Cyprus at the moment, Ped. He doesn't have a service out here that shows it, so we were huddled around my iPhone on Skygo and had a live timing screen up on his computer, which may well have made the race seem pretty exciting. He's got crap eyesight, so struggled with the phone. Was grateful for the commentary, though, which I'm assuming is what Ped did, and I'd like to hear some Ped commentary, which reminds me of when we did commentaries, didn't we, a few years ago. Rich did commentaries on the starts. It was amazing. Oh, we should have to dig those out. I'll see if I can dig out some past commentary from Rich in a past podcast. And also, that means, of course, anyone listening to this podcast, if you want to commentate on the race and send us in the audio with the, obviously the TV thingies in the background, gently do it, because it's amazing. You can go as nuts as you want, you can swear because we can beep it, it's loads of fun. And I'll try and remember where those are at some point, and we can share them over the coming weeks, and we'll make that a thing, because that was brilliant.
It would have been a good start as well with Mr. Roman making his way across the track.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, which was what he was saying in his helmet, I imagine. Also, we got a lovely message from your brother, Callum, Mr. Dan Springle, budding F1 engineer, so you know he's going to be talking grade A sense. But I'm going to save that for the Patreon podcast, because I can do that sort of thing. So that will be coming up later for all you Patreons. Now, in the meantime, have a quick reminder of the best places to interact with us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and our superb Facebook group. All are findable via @TheNRF1. That's the handle, @TheNRF1. We love getting your emails too, so make sure you send those in. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the address. And of course, there is our website that ties everything together, nrf1.uk, for all the links you could possibly need. Okay, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. Just the usual trio for this podcast. We better start off with Red Bull, I suppose, because, I mean, all in all, they had a tough situation to deal with after Baku, and I thought they dealt with it pretty well. Callum sort of smirking out the side of his face. You know, no one really got too het up. Everyone seemed to be reasonably calm and sensible about it. They all apologised and did all the factory tours and shook everyone's hand and did, you know, kiss them on the knees and what have you, all that sort of good stuff. And then, you know, the race comes by. Max Verstappen, I thought, dealt pretty well. His first podium in 7 races, which seems rather remarkable.
Yeah, I suppose.
Long time, Callum.
Yeah,
for a quick car. I mean, there was a lot of pace in that car over the weekend. I don't really know if we saw it all.
Well, apparently it's quite a tricky car to drive with the updates that they've brought. And I think we've seen that their ultimate pace is as good as anyone's, which kind of fits in with the story from the previous 4 races, maybe excluding Baku. Because I think Ricciardo's gotten 3 of the 5 fastest laps. But yeah, if they actually can bring out some consistency in the car, then they should be really right up there and going for wins on merit.
How did you rate how they dealt with everything after Azerbaijan?
Pretty well, because it's just calmed down. There's sort of the odd little comment over the weekend, but Danny Ric and Verstappen seemed quite happy and sort of both admitted at the time that they were both at fault a little bit. Christian Horner obviously called them naughty schoolboys, whatever he said at the time, and yeah, they kind of got on with it and moved on, and that's probably the best way to deal with it.
They did seem to chop the strategy so they definitely wouldn't be racing into each other. I did notice that.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably a little bit worried if they get close on track. But yeah, I think, and it's a shame that, I don't know if it is, they keep going on about this engine mode in qualifying and the fact that Mercedes and Ferrari got this magical engine mode. But they were the second quickest car on the Sunday. So if they can, I think as Christian Horner said afterwards, if they can get sort of even second row, they can then cause a few issues for Mercedes and Ferrari.
Let's shimmy on down to Sauber, shall we? Charles Leclerc. I mean, do we pronounce the C? Do you like pronouncing that second C, Callum?
No.
Okay.
We pronounce it properly. It's just Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc. You know me, Callum. If anyone here is going to pronounce anything properly, it's me. Charles Leclerc, what a young man. He's really starting to churn up the points. Admittedly, you didn't think he was going to get any points this weekend, did you, Callum? Because you said he would finish out the top 10. Fair enough. But I think Ted Kravitz says the first time that Sauber scored points in consecutive races for I don't know how long, so even he can be asked to find out. It's obviously a long time. And
3 years?
So Ted, you really shouldn't know then, shouldn't he, after all that? But yeah, just he's really showing his talent, isn't he? Novelty's worn off there.
It's quite slow, that train,
it was
slow,
yeah.
Sort of virtual safety car, sort of the speed.
Romain Grosjean, he's already taken the back of his train out.
Yeah, I mean, when he came into F1, he was more used to sort of having the grip surplus over power. Now you come into Formula 1, it's a little bit different. So he's been more used to sort of an oversteer balance, whereas now you have to kind of gauge yourself more of an understeer balance and exploit that, which he has done the last 2 races. And pretty much on merit has finished where he's finished. I mean, if you take out retirements in Spain, he probably would have been 11th. which is more or less where he was anyway. And then if you take out retirements in Baku, he probably would have been around the same place, about 10th or 11th. So, yeah, in a car that's not exactly a prime contender for points, he's getting the job done.
Getting more out of the car than there is in it, or do you think that there are signs of improvement for Sauber too?
They've improved Sauber, but yeah, he's getting more out of the car than there is. Obviously, the fantastic year last year in F2. I was a little bit suspicious because the Prima team was so dominant the previous year as well. I don't know if they've found something in the car or whatever, but he's after the first three races, he's now stepping up, and as the old driver market silly season begins earlier and earlier, then he's putting himself in the frame for a nice little drive next year.
Yes. Imagine Ferrari actually taking a gamble and recruiting one of their own junior drivers. Who knew? Imagine it. Kyle, let's stick with you, because we're going to pop into Haas third and finally. K-Mag dog, suck my ball. Nut job, whatever, all the things. Most dangerous driver. But then maybe that's why everyone gave him a minute, because literally he was on his own for the entirety of this race. But he finished sixth, P6, and Haas just starting to get some of the points that their car clearly deserves, at least from one side of the garage.
Yeah.
We won't talk about Roman yet.
Yeah, from one side of the garage. Yeah, obviously they were quick there in pre-season. There's a big race for him after they've wasted points all year. And yeah, he was... Well, by clearly the fourth quickest car. He did a nice race by himself. I do love K-Mag at the moment. He's just brilliant. I don't know, he seems such a nice, quiet lad when he's interviewed outside the car, but inside the car he's causing chaos and everybody's moaning about him, but I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, but the fact they're moaning about him is what makes him brilliant. The fact that he's everyone off is like, yes, go do it, go shake it up, because that's what we want to see, don't we?
And he's, you know, you have to be aggressive, I think, in the midfield, to especially as it is so hard to overtake. You need to get your elbows out and everything else out and show who's boss. And like I say, maybe they were just backing off him and said, well, we'll let him have sixth and we'll battle for seventh.
It's a shame he finished sixth and we still didn't get to hear from Giuliano Salvi all race. What a shame that was. Which actually reminds me, Callum, you picked me up on our Patreon page, patreon.com/nrf1. Nice little community brewing, apart from when Callum has a go at me. No, he didn't have a go at me. But we were struggling on the Patreon podcast, I think, last time out, suggesting what was going on with Max and his engineer. Now, it seemed a lot calmer this week. There was no sort of tension, I didn't notice. Apparently pronounced his engineer's name wrong and speculated over the fact that his name didn't appear to be standard English, that he might not be English. So would you like to put me right on air on both of these things now, Callum?
How did you pronounce it?
I think I struggled. I went Jean-Pierre, is it? And because I haven't got it written down in front of me. And then it was like Lambais. It's probably just Lambias, yeah, isn't it? Lambaise. Is it just Lambias?
It's Giampiero Lambiasi.
Yeah, all right. What does it say again?
Giampiero Lambiasi.
Giampiero Lambiasi.
Yeah.
And where's he from?
Somewhere in England.
Brilliant. Okay, well, there we go. So, yeah, they're obviously just tense. And they've maybe livened up a little bit. There we go. Now, much more from the NRF1 pit stops and more chat about the 2018 Spanish Grand Prix will be in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, check out patreon.com, which is patreon.com/NRF1, right after this podcast. Thanks a huge bucket load to everyone who has already decided to become a patron and get involved in the project. Those bonus podcasts are brilliant. I say so myself. Obviously, I would, but we're enjoying them so much. So you can listen to them all over at patreon.com. Thanks to those who have joined us. We're due a roll call of all these names. Now that the football season's finished, I am catching up. Proof of the pudding is on its way. Now it's time for our Of the Weekends. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. We could make this quite quick, but who, Sean? I mean, let's obviously, Lewis Hamilton dominated it.
Yeah, I'll probably just go for him just ahead of K-Mag.
That's fine. They're two good shouts.
Magnussen. As much as, you know, intentionally pushing another driver into the wall is, to quote Lewis Hamilton, a bit of a dickhead move, to say the least. He is driving quite well this year.
There you go, begrudging praise from Callum. Notable nod for Max Verstappen, I think, after last weekend to finish on the podium. Team of the weekend.
Mercedes. Yeah, just for the clear speed they had.
It was one of those weekends, wasn't it, really, Callum?
Can't really be anyone other than Mercedes, apart from Haas.
Apart from Haas, there we go, nice shout. All right, speaking of which, Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. So, having gone on a complete rant about Romain Grosjean last time out for doing something inanely stupid, I kind of fell for him a little bit, because I think in the split seconds of when everything happened, maybe, you know, he's trying to spin the car in one way and it spins the other and there's smoke, you know, maybe he could have done something about it. But initially, my reaction was, oh, for f***'s sake, what have you done there, Roman? Because he's literally just taken a load of cars out by lighting up his tyres and trying to get out of a spin at a start. I mean, it was the worst possible thing he could have done.
Yeah, I felt a bit sorry for him, because it was sort of jump on Grosjean, especially after Baku as well. But the fact that he sort of admitted that he tried to get the other side of the track, which just doesn't, you know, it's the first few corners of a race, you just don't do it. Yeah, he's having an awful time at the moment. He's in a very quick car and he's got 0 points. So, yeah, not the best. But there's a few others that didn't have great little races and odd little spin over the weekend. Mr. Sorokin, Ricciardo, and Mr. Hartley. So there's a few others that are close by.
There was some really driving this weekend. And Danny Ric, who in a really quick car, because he kept lighting up the tyres, ended up just spinning under the virtual safety car, wasn't it? Or was it under the safety car? He spun.
Was it the restart following the virtual safety car? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he spun and ended up down the skate route and sort of took 10 seconds out of his way. But, you know, probably, I don't know, would he have finished ahead of anyone else if he'd have kept his foot down? Probably not.
Probably not. Would have been fairly marginal with Vettel, but I doubt it. You know, apart from Grosjean's smoke screen, whoever was doing the bit on the inside lane on the pit and in the pit lane, like with the hashtag Spanish Grand Prix, for example.
Spanish?
Someone wrote Spanish Grand Prix, which yes. I hope that's not a political move from a disgruntled Catalan.
Yeah, well, they did play the Catalan national, and well, I suppose you would call it Catalan anthem or Catalan national anthem. I'm not really sure, but the anthem of Catalunya.
If we were sitting in Barcelona, it might be the national anthem, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but they played that before the race as well, so fair play.
It's still the Circuit de Catalunya, isn't it?
Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya. Oh, now, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know what that does for it, but, you know.
That would be pretty ironic if they called it the Circuit de Madrid or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think that would be too subtle. There we go. So don't do that, anyone in Spain or Spanish. Giuliano Salvi, moment of the weekend. So, I mean, the start was pretty lively. The one thing I did want to mention, I can't remember if it was, I think it was a Williams, it might have been Sorokin, who saw Romain Grosjean, you know, lighting up his tyres, massive smoke, and he's heading straight for it. So he just sort of drives really slowly, and all of a sudden it's gone. And he's like, oh, meanwhile, Gasly and Hülkenberg are just taken out the side of the road. And Sorokin's like, oh, it's all gone. Brilliant. What do you? I don't know if that was the moment of the weekend, but it certainly made me smile.
Moment. Whew.
It was just the start, wasn't it, really?
So uneventful.
Yeah, it was Ericsson. Who was he battling with?
Science.
Yes. I thought that was, yeah, that'd probably be my moment.
He was like the Ferrari Reserves version of Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah.
That's not ominous at all.
And there was a decent Alonso overtake around the outside of somewhere, wasn't there, as well? I remember vaguely.
Gone at turn three.
Yeah, that was it. That was a nice little battle. I don't remember half of this stuff. I must have fallen asleep. Am I even reading the right race? No, it's Bahrain. I've literally been reading all my notes from Bahrain. F*** sake. No wonder it didn't make sense.
Is that going in the intro by any
chance? Yeah, I might have to leave that in there. Now, oh, what a f***ing idiot. Okay, well, that leaves us to decide our race rating out of 11, of course, as always. I said to someone who was at the race, I thought it was half decent. Well, I said decent, and they came back saying, no, it was s***. So, how s***? Is probably the question. So far this season, Azerbaijan leads on 11.35. So again, breaking through that 11 barrier. Worst race so far this season was Australia with a 6. Kyle.
Australia with a 6. Was it best in Australia? I'd say it's very similar to Australia. So I'll go 6.
I thought it was worse. I think I'll say 5. Callum?
Yeah, I'd go with 5.
Job done. That is how we do that. That was very efficient, boys, and that was all it deserved as well. And who will have the biggest smile on their face heading home on their plane, private jet plane, from a private airport, probably flying 20 minutes?
Mr. K-Mag.
Well, just saying, suck my b***.
Yes. To everybody.
One image. That's for you guys out there. Callum?
I just feel like it would be so typical that it's the week that I put Daniel Ricciardo in my fantasy team and he absolutely would not have the biggest smile on his face, but I'll still go with him.
Yeah. We'll be talking about the Fantasy League team in a bit. I'll probably swear in that bit as well. Now, make sure you catch our key NRF1 podcast by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find plenty of links there. Audioboom, Google Play, Shush, I'm still a dad, times two. I'm still knackered. Callum, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast. You'll find out. You've got full-time employment coming up. You'll find out. Spotify, Radio Public, they are all there for you. And of course, if yours isn't included in that list, just let us know. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the email address. And if you like us on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, then please rate and review us. Even if you hate us and you think we're all Lewis Hamilton haters, then you can do that. nrf1.uk/isonitunes.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
So next up, Monaco, regular listeners. Remember, this is our seventh season. Regular listeners will know that this is the gimmick race, according to Ped. He's not here, so we don't have to have the same argument again. I love this. I love this weekend. I love Monaco. It's iconic in terms of Formula One. But, you know, I am a little bit worried that the sun comes out, guns come out, and no one overtakes anyone, and it's So, what do you reckon, Kyle?
The best bit Monaco is qualifying.
Yeah.
And that's the best bit.
The Rosberg incident.
Yes.
Rosberg, yes.
Parking his car. Yeah, I mean...
Nico Rosberg. off. If we're going to see a video of him, aren't we? This is when I parked the car and Lewis Hamilton right up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nico. Go back to whatever you were doing when you quit. Go on.
He just, yeah, because he brought the video out about his crash with him and Hamilton. Oh, yeah. I haven't watched any.
Yeah.
He did one at Spain?
Yeah.
What's he doing? Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, talking about how he shoved Lewis off the track and then Lewis spun and went into him. Was he complaining about Lewis?
I don't know. I didn't actually watch it.
Good. None of us watched it. I'm fine. I'm happy with that. Carry on.
But, yeah, I mean, something can happen. Somebody can go into the wall. The last few years have been
it's
okay.
Verstappen going into the wall.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like 2015, he went over the back of Grosjean. Then last year was the disaster. I can't remember what 2016 was. Oh no, because he went in the swimming pool, not literally,
no,
but in the barrier.
This year. Yeah, the thought of Romain Grosjean trying to get around Monaco at the moment does scare me rather. But
yeah, he just needs a clean race, and Monaco is probably not the best place to go to.
If he goes really slowly, he'll be all right. Yeah. No one could have been able to overtake him around Monaco.
He crashes on the virtual safety cars, so I'm not too sure.
Formation lap.
Poor old Roman.
Yeah. I'm sure I can't remember what his record is around there. I don't want to look too much.
Probably good.
Probably.
I mean, he's enigmatic, isn't he?
Mm. So, for his sake, I hope he has a good race. You never know. It might rain, cause a bit of chaos. The cars should be quite close, hopefully. Although Mercedes weren't that great there last year, were they? Hamilton had a shocker on the Saturday. So, I'll be positive. I'm hoping for a decent race, and all the front three cars all pretty close, and qualifying will be amazing, and we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Fingers crossed. That sounds like a good plan. Do you like this race, Callum?
Not really. It's just boring, isn't it?
It is. I know the race is, but it's such a nice event. It's such an event. I'd love to go one year.
It's all right when you get the one in five that is actually exciting, but
exactly,
it's just about qualifying.
It's more than we get at Spain, so you know we're all right, aren't we?
It's funny that you'd say how Barcelona is a sh** race. But actually, both 2017 and 2016 were actually rather good races.
This is true. I feel like I did mention that in the preview stuff, but then it seems easier to bash it after we got a race.
This social media age of ours.
I just regress to the norm. So this is prediction time, of course. What we like to do is like to dish out one of our predictions here and now. And of course, we give all our full predictions over in the Patreon exclusive podcast. But just to let you know, I have began to catch up, because there are prizes for all our patrons if they've come up with the best score each race weekend. I'm a little bit behind because it's the first time we've done it, and we're just getting there in terms of making it all happen. But I have calculated the scores from the Australian Grand Prix. So yes, I know I've still got about four to do, but you know, go easy on me. The results are in, and I'm delighted to say that the top predictions were actually achieved by three people tied in terms of our patrons. Although well done, Dat's Life, because you were in amongst them as well. But well done to Steve Rust, Maxwell Kerry and Stuart Muller. So two podders, and Maxwell Kerry, who's been a top supporter of us. We appreciate it, Maxwell. You guys all top scored with your predictions for the Australian Grand Prix. The prize at the moment is a £5 voucher or credit towards anything on the motorsport-merchandise.com website or the Classic Team Lotus shop, whatever you want. So we'll be in touch about that. As it's shared three ways, you each get to share that £5 credit. But of course, hopefully, you'll win loads of Grand Prix weekends, and then by the end of it, you'll get yourself something quite nice. So hopefully that works out as a quite nice prize. Well done, Maxwell. Well done, Stephen Stewart. Obvs. And there you go. It is, of course, worth getting fully involved in the Prediction League. And if you want to do that, then take a look at patreon.com/NRF1. That leaves us to be able to make our solitary Monaco predictions. So, Kyle, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm going to go straight in for the winner. Danny Ric. Boom.
Did he win it last year?
No.
It was 2016. He was on pole.
And they mucked it up, yeah. Who won it last year?
Vettel.
Yeah. Kimi was screwed over, wasn't he?
Always the way. Yeah. Good stuff, Kyle. The rest of yours will come in the other podcast. I'm going to say that Romain Grosjean won. There's no chance he's finishing this race. Sorry, Romain. And Callum?
Charles Leclerc will be in the top 10.
Yes! Poor Charles. Don't tell him. Whatever happens.
It's home Grand Prix as well, isn't it?
It is.
Proper home Grand Prix.
Because he's Monégasque. Which I have properly looked up, and I now know the word. Monégasque.
He's Monégasque.
So there we go. Which is exciting, yeah. I mean, considering he was the first Monégasque to score any points in Formula 1 since 1950 at the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, God knows when anyone's ever done well from Monaco. Well, apart from Nico Rosberg, I suppose.
Do you want to know who was the last Monégasque to score points?
Yes.
It was Louis Chiron. I think it was at the Belgian Grand Prix, 1950.
That's why you're here, Callum. You should have seen his face. He was beaming after
that. As Lewis Hamilton would believe, Nico Rosberg is from Monaco.
Nico. Can't wait to see his video this weekend. It's going to be great. The other thing I wanted to touch on...
The year I inherited a win from a safety car.
I forged it in qualifying. The other thing I want to touch on is Fantasy League. Now, I don't know why I want to talk about this, because I'm sh**. And I haven't had the time to sort it out. And I looked on one league I'm in. I am about 2,000th out of 2,090 people. So I am literally bombing. Mainly Nico Hülkenberg hasn't done anything since. So sorry, Nico. It's probably my fault. But we have got a private NRF1 league. But I'm going to set up a public NRF1 league. So if you do Fantasy League, get yourself involved. We'll share the location of it somehow or other. I guess there'll be a code to share. But also keep an eye out, have a search, and join our NRF1 public league. That would be awesome. We're also going to have an NRF1 team, fantasy team, that we put together communally. Seems like a great idea. I think we're going to do that on the Patreon podcast. So we'll have a little get-together between the three of us, come up with a team, and
democracy at its best
or worst, yeah. One or the other. And what we'll do is, as we go through the season, we'll vote on changes and we'll do it communally, and hopefully that will get a better score than me on my own, and we'll see how far we can get up the league, because using all our powers together we should fly. And the other thing we've got to touch on is karting, Callum. We have been in negotiations, contact with Missed Apex podcast. Hello, boys and girls. They are having a karting day and they want other podcasts to go and race against them at their smart track. Which track is it, Carl?
Buckmore Park. Very nice.
Buckmore Park,
yeah. Very nice track.
I think they want us to go and all the other podcasts to go so they can whoop our ass. That's kind of the impression I got. Sadly, it's the start of the football season. I don't really want to think about that yet, but I can't do it. But it's August the 4th, isn't it? Which is a Saturday afternoon. And all being well, Kyle and Callum, you are both racing. We're saying that officially now, are we?
May as well.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. And we have a couple of spaces going as well, don't we? So it might be, and Missed Apex guys have got a proper waiting list of people that will go and fill those spaces. But I reckon if, say, up until the Monaco Grand Prix, if you're listening to this, you can be in England on Essex?
Kent,
close enough. It's all near London. If you live in the States, then it's fine. If you find yourself in the UK or near Kent on August the 4th and you think, I love the NRF1 podcast, I want to represent in the karting Grand Prix that the Missed Apex podcast people are putting on, Spanners and Co., then get in contact with us on any of the social media channels. Send us an email, let us know, and we'll make sure we make that happen. But ideally, if you could let us know before the start of, say, FP1 in Monaco, because I might as well use the same rules. Of course, don't forget that is Thursday as well. So before the action starts in Monaco, let us know if you want to get involved. I reckon we've got two spaces. Do it. If not, I'm sure the Missed Apex guys will fill them. But if you want to represent us and be a part and join Kyle and Callum on what should be a fantastic karting day, I would be there, trust me, racing if I could. But if you fancy that, then just let us know, and I'm sure you'll do every one of us hugely proud.
And if they don't, then we've got some pedigree in the other ranks, because there's Kyle being Beckles champion 2 times and myself being the inaugural NRF1 Grand Prix winner. Yeah. I'm sure we could hand out some driving tips.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, and it's on an individual basis, so you just have loads of fun. Karting is the best. I would do it all day if I could. Love karting. If you love racing, you'll love karting. That's straightforward. Right, we are done. Enjoy the most iconic race on earth, whether it's a good one or not. And remember, if you want to hear more from us about Barcelona, our full Monte Carlo predictions or opinions on the big F1 news and everything in between, then take in our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast. That includes Miami Nice, TVing troubles, and stalling Williams. For that and a whole load of extra content, there it is, Callum, just check out patreon.com/nrf1. We will return with E221, our Monegasque Lovin' podcast, with another bonus Patreon edition shortly after the action in the Principality. In the meantime, it's a big thanks to Future Radio, and goodbye from the crew, from Callum.
Goodbye.
From Kyle.
Goodbye.
From myself. A very good night to you. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Here's to a gimmick we can all enjoy around Monaco. Until then, goodbye.